Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold, hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is February 20th, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. And I welcome everyone to the show tonight. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And I also want to give a special welcome to the leader of the teaching who's with us this evening, and that is Sri Kadavji, who is the Mahaji and the 973rd living Sarosha Master in a long line of unbroken masters. So Sri Kadavji, I'd like to begin the show talking a little bit about what that means to be the leader of the teaching in a line of unbroken masters, and I wondered if you wouldn't mind talking about that a little bit in the very beginning.
Absolutely, I would be glad to. And I hope you're having a nice evening.
I am, thank you very much.
Yes, the unbroken line of teachers goes back to actually the dawn of time, but the way it's been measured from 3100 B.C. on October 22nd and at midnight. That was the beginning of the present Iron Age. So we're measuring the 973rd from that time. And the average tenure has been about 6 years. But there's been one teacher that was there for quite a while. So the tenure has a pretty dynamic range to it. At the same time, having said all that, the master lineage goes back to, and it's the state of consciousness of the human being. We're conscious, so there has to be a master consciousness. And that's why there is this lineage. But it comes and goes in history, just like the teaching of ACOTA is not always public. And then when it is public, it's still secret because it's only for the ready souls that have the eyes to hear. I mean, eyes to see and the ears to hear. Yes, we see with our eyes. And ironically, that's actually true, but I won't get into that, the details of that. The interesting part is that because it's not always public, but again, it's a secret teaching that's made public periodically, but not always public. So right now we're public, and we've been public since 1986, and the albeit we're small, but we have about 3,000 followers internationally. And it's growing all the time since we've been using the internet. We've been growing quite a bit because it's on an international computerization. All right, having said all that, the teaching mainly focuses upon the practice of Sahaji, which is the movement of the inner self, the sound current within, the individual sound current we hear is like a high electrical pitch or a ringing in the ear, that each one is his individual soul. So what the soul does, it travels, and that traveling is what is known as Sahaji in higher Sanskrit. Again, it's this movement, the capability of the soul to travel inside to higher dimensions, because the physical plane is a low spiritual plane, it's the lowest plane, but it also is obviously has matter with it, matter, energy, space, and time. And there are four lower planes that have those properties. We have the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes, and those planes need to be negotiated through by the essence, the soul essence, to get to the fifth dimension, which is the true identity of soul, which is the light and sound within, in a pure dimension, without any matter interspersed. However, there is imagery, but it's evanescent. In other words, it doesn't last. It's like when you're focusing upon it, you can see imagery, but it doesn't have a staying power. In other words, it goes away when you're not using the faculties of this sight and sound. See, those twin aspects are the parallel with the light and sound of the essence of soul. For instance, physically, we're said to have five senses, but in reality, we have 10 senses. That's the sentient being. But the only two that are retained throughout eternity are the sight and sound, which is enough. I mean, that's all we need to be able to see and be able to hear. That's a very powerful proponent. At the same time, because you have sound, you do have capability of speech too. So you have an eternal essence that has the capability of seeing and speaking if necessary. And therefore, it's sort of a disembodied type thing. But in reality, it can embody in the lower plane. So people don't have to be concerned with that business. But the idea of the learning about the essence, and it can be liberated. That's the key to this whole thing, is liberation in soul at the fifth level. And we also have three goals in Akasha, which are self-realization at the fifth dimension, aforesaid. Then we have God-realization in the eighth plane. And then we have Sarosha mastery, spiritual mastery in the tenth plane. So maybe you'd like to elaborate upon those three goals a little bit, and then take us through a huge chant, if you will. Maybe explain a little bit about what the huge chant does in terms of focus and things. So if you
sure.
do that, Leslie,
yeah.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Of course, I'd be happy to do that. So the three goals, as Srigadavati just mentioned, are self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. And the way that we attain those goals are by achieving initiations. So as we're on the path and we're studying on the path and we're practicing our spiritual exercises, which I will describe to you in a little bit as well, our spiritual unfoldment gets stimulated or pushed forward, and it's facilitated to move faster. And when we finally reach the fifth plane, which is the first plane of the higher worlds, what's also called the God worlds, the plane where there is no opposite in the higher planes, so there's no opposites, no positive, no negative, it's just all pure positive spirit. So that happens when you reach the fifth plane, and it's also called the soul plane, and it's called self-realization when we achieve that goal. So it's a realization of ourself as soul. That's really what it is, understanding, getting that complete understanding, whereas we have been on this journey. Prior to that, we've been getting glimpses of it and understanding, going along further, we're becoming unfolded. But then we have the complete self-realization experience where we do have that total understanding of who we are in a relationship on the inner planes, and there is no questioning of anything. So we have no doubts at all at this point. We're a completely confident individual, and our strength in spirit is just gotten to this really high level that we can navigate anywhere and do anything without having any issues wondering about how we're going to do so. So it is complete confidence at this level. Now, when we reach the eighth plane, we're becoming God realized. So that's really getting the understanding of who we are as soul in relationship to God. And it's just another level of understanding. We're starting to get insights into the reality of the way that the universe is run and manifest, and that we're getting further and further on our journey. So we do reach that on the eighth plane. The eighth plane is also called the Hukikot Lok, by the way, if anyone's interested. And if you're ever traveling on the inner and you hear the inner sound and it sounds like 1,000 violins, then you know that you're actually traveling on the eighth plane. Now, the final goal is spiritual mastery, which we achieve on the 10th plane, which is also called the Anami Lok. And the there are words that are associated with each of these planes. So if you were to chant any of these words when you're doing your contemplation exercise or at any time, then it's going to transport you into that plane. So on the 10th plane, the word is the hue, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a few moments as well. But when we become spiritual masters on the 10th plane, so we really have the total awareness at this point. And that's what we've really been striving for, total awareness on all aspects and all levels. And spiritual masters really are working, helping run the universe, so we can be given jobs on the inner planes, and sometimes we have jobs on the outer planes. There are many spiritual masters that are alive in the physical, and they're working to help this spread the message of Akata. They're doing many benevolent things in the universe, and there's many spiritual masters that are on the inner planes as well. Excuse me. Whereas they have passed, they've translated, and they're working on the inner planes. They're no longer in the physical body. But then there are some that are very superannuated, that are very aged in the physical plane, and they're usually living in remote areas. They usually don't come down into the public, and they certainly don't really dally about in the industrial complex very often. So they're usually in a very salubrious setting, or a very natural and quiet setting. But so those are the three goals. When we gain the final goal, spiritual mastery, we're not finished spiritual unfoldment. That's a continuation. We're always spiritually unfolding. And so there's always a new realization, a new enlightenment that can be gotten by being on this path. And one of the ways we speed up our spiritual unfoldment is by doing a 30-minute contemplation on a daily basis. And this is extremely important in the aspect of gaining that spiritual unfoldment, because it's tuning us in, it's connecting us with spirit, and it's done for 30 minutes because that is actually a scientific measure of time. 30 minutes covers you for a 24-hour period, and so what that brings you is spiritual balance. It brings you further insight and peace and protection as well. So that's why we do the contemplation. Now, I'm going to give you a short example, a very brief example of what a spiritual exercise is like. And I did mention the word hue, which is the word on the 10th plane, and it's also another word for God, but it's a very high vibrational word. And when we use that, it really does obliterate any kind of negativity in the area, whether that's on the inner or the outer. So we always want to use that word hue, unless you have your own spiritual mantra that you've been given when you've been given initiations on the path. You do receive your own mantras. But just briefly, I'm going to take you through what's called a hue chant. So you sit quietly, your eyes are closed, take a breath or two, a deep breath or two to relax, and we're going to put our attention on the spot that's either the tis or til, which is the spot just above the bridge of the nose between the eyebrows, or you can put your attention on the crown chakra, which is at the top of the head, and that is the place where soul comes in when it's a baby. And so what we're going to do is just chant the word hue just for a moment or two so you can feel what that's like. You can go chant it along with me or just listen so that you know how to do this when you're doing your own contemplation exercise, which will be 30 minutes, not just a couple of minutes as we're doing now. So it sounds like this. Baraka Bashat, which means may the blessings be. And when you're doing your contemplation on your own, you want to be in a quiet place, as quiet as possible. Use your earplugs if you need to. And you can chant for a few moments, or you can chant longer, whatever feels comfortable. But then if you're through chanting, you're going to be quiet and just listening to the sound current, which can be heard as a high electrical pitch or as one of the particular sounds on the inner planes. As I said, the 10th plane is 1,000 violins. On the 5th plane, you'll hear a single note of the flute. But the high electrical pitch is just fine because you're listening to the Sra-Osha. And so it's very important. You can also have an out-of-the-body experience or see a light, which is a white light or a yellow light from the higher planes, or the blue light, which is the light of the inner master. So this is just a short example of what it's like to do a contemplation. Srikadashi, would you like to add anything to this?
Yes, I was thinking that the idea that people have strong feelings inwardly and outwardly, and those remain intact once getting to the path of Akata. Really, the only change that takes place is one learns and gains more knowledge of the inner self and to focus upon that sound current they hear within. Sometimes people have heard this before, but they don't have a related teaching in their life to enable them to relate to the sound current. So a lot of times people have some real problems understanding what this is. So once people get to the path of Akata, there's a great joy and ecstasy of realizing the sound current that's always been with them eternally is now that essence as soul, so that individual identity. So therefore, the people have all these goals and experiences of self-realization, but they're just not consciously aware of it. So once one's upon the path of Akata and leads the life of Dharma, as we call it, they transcend their karma and they work it out. They resolve their karma and then gain the goals that they've always known that they've had within. So there's always a knowingness that people have, but connecting up the speech and sight and awareness on the outer planes is not done when you're a non-ready soul. It's only done when one is ready and can connect up with the living Sarosha Master of the time. Again, people have an inner knowing, but they can't make it happen in the outer planes. You see, they cannot make that connection. So the connection is only made by the ready soul. And the ready souls right now are 1% of the population. It means 1 in 100 people, 1 out of 100, means 99 out of 100 won't be ready souls. And people say, well, that seems like a lot of people not ready. But in the times when we're in an iron age, the most negative cycle, what is known as the cosmic day, it can get to like 1 in a million. So we're actually fortunate that it is 1 in 100 presently. But that means out of 7.5 billion people, there's 75 million ready souls. And people say, well, that's very ambitious of you to get 75 million. But I'm not ambitious that way. My job is to present the teaching, and we don't charge for anything. Everything's free. So that gives us a pure motive of not trying to make a living by selling memberships and books and all that. So everything, all the materials, seminars, anything, lectures we give, we do everything for free of charge. There's no cost to anything. So that way people can't even get an undertow of justifying why something costs. There's no justification in the path of Akata with reference to money issues. So we really like that pure motivation. People really appreciate it too, because this idea online that people are selling spirituality is pretty silly, and I've often agreed with that years ago. All right, so having said that, did you want to add anything to that? I think we've covered pretty much. How's our timing right now?
Oh, we're fine. We have about 11 and a half minutes.
Okay.
So
right.
I do want to say, if people are interested in finding out more information, definitely you can listen to, we have so many blog talk radio shows and so many shows in the archives, and they're not always the same. We try to cover some of the same basic information, but then Srikadashi is always bringing out new aspects of enlightenment and wisdom that are very stimulating to listen to, because it's I'm always hearing something that I haven't heard before, and I've been on this path for many years, and it's very, very interesting. So all the shows are not exactly alike, so feel free to listen to those archives. Go to our website as well, which is akata.com, and you can find audios of Srikadashi speaking, and we also have books that are free to download. There's an introductory book, an introductory to Akata. That's a wonderful book because there's a wealth of information in there. And it also goes into the contemplation exercises quite a bit. So I think there are a few different contemplation exercises that somebody could see, find one that fits them, that they want to use. So I recommend doing that. And if you have been listening for a while and you think you're ready to step on this path, feel free to fill out an application. As Ricotta, she said, there's no charge. Everything is free in the teaching. But you do need to fill out an application to make that step towards membership.
Correct. Right. At the same time, as we had said before, once one steps onto the path, their karma is ceased. It stops at that point. And then karma is in resolution. And what you practice at that point is the aspect of dharma. And that means karmalessness. When people say, well, how can I live my life in dharma without creating karma, since there's cause and effect and there's effect to all of our causes? And I say, well, in the idea of science, there's a aspect of what is known as invariance. When there is an action that is actually finished at the point of action, people say, well, how can that be? Well, it's a matter of just doing it. It's a matter of stepping onto the high path, and there's total resolution and motion. And it can be done because it is scientific. Therefore, one is in the noumenal state of the high levels of the fifth plane above in their practice. And therefore, that's how karma is resolved over a period of time on the path. The teaching really is a 30-year program, but a lot of the students go much quicker than that. We're trying to get people to self-realization within 5 years, and sometimes it happens quicker. It depends on the individual and their discipline and dedication, especially dedication to the daily 30-minute contemplation. Now, there's nothing mandatory in ACATA, but it's really a strong suggestion that one does their daily 30-minute contemplation. And as Leslie had said earlier, it does take care of a 24-hour period where you can get enough vibrations above the fifth plane so that you can get an equilibrium during the day so you're not having as much trauma. Because people can safely admit, before getting the path of ACATA, they're going through a lot of struggles. But that's sometimes people won't admit to that, and it's not our job to go around saying that you have problems and you have problems and all that business. That's not our responsibility. But people can safely admit that they do. So once you get to the path of ACATA, it's not necessarily perfect, but you can get enough energy and stamina by going within to get an area of equilibrium during that daily period of time. So it's important to do the daily exercises that we had shown here this evening in terms of the Hue chant, where the Hue chant, you can start off with that if you're in a place where it's more public or it's private, but it may be something that more intimate that you don't want to be heard. You can do the inner chant of the Hue. It's also recommended to do the Hue chant on a daily basis inwardly when you're amongst the marketplace or what have you. Learn about staying in a state of equilibrium, because in the beginning it's hard because you've been buffeted for many lifetimes and many years of negative and positive. So to get to the middle is sometimes a struggle, not necessarily in the beginning if you're using the Hue chant, but it's a struggle for people to gain equilibrium when they're not on the path. It's very difficult to recognize the negativity. Now, the one in charge of the negativity in the lower plane, so the fourth plane and below, is the demon, we call it. In the religions, they call it the devil, Satan, and that sort of thing. But we really call it a demon, and his name is Kalanaranjan, the he god of religions. And that, therefore, that he god controls the lower planes. So we get beyond that with the Hue chant. The Hue chant in the face of negativity will dispel all that negativity. So the Hue chant is a golden key. If you get anything tonight, anybody that's listening, then you understand that syllable, the H-U, that will help you in your daily life. It's the golden key that unlocks the inner planes. And therefore, that particular Hue chant is really necessary. It's called the universal mantra, the H-U. Some other teachings talk about it, but they don't focus upon it as much as we do in ACATA, because prior to stepping onto the path, one can gain that tonight by listening. And in this particular discussion that we're having about ACTA this evening. So what's your time like right now? I can't see.
We have five minutes left.
Oh, 5 minutes. Okay. So we're really going fast this evening. Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it always seems to go by so quickly because there's so much information that we want to give out. And we do, from time to time, give seminars and classes, and there are members all over the world. So in some areas, there are ongoing classes, and you would just have to, if you decide to become a member, you would have to just send us a note and ask us if we know of any classes that are happening in your area. But in the spring in the Philadelphia area, starting most likely in April, we will start holding the introductory talks again for people who are interested, and in the Central Philadelphia area, wherein you can come to those. They're of no charge, and you can meet the Mahaji, you can meet Sri Kadavji, who's the Mahaji, and the 973rd Living Sirisha Master. So that's a very special opportunity for anyone. So if you're listening to the blog talk shows, we'll be announcing those talks as they come along. Sri Kadavji, we've got about 3.5 minutes left. Was there something else that you wanted to add?
Well, I could sing a song or do a soft shoe dance, I guess. I guess you can see the dance, though, right? So we're not immune to laughter. We think it's very important. I make an ironic joke about ESP. I ask people, well, do you know what ESP is? And they say, well, extrasensory perception, which is a sixth sense. I said, no, it means extremely silly people. Anyway, so it's sort of a fun thing. I think people really like that. We had mentioned God realization before. And I wanted to, did you want to say something there?
Well, I did want to say that when one's on the path and their spiritual unfoldment starts taking place, what happens is we become more creative in many different aspects, and our individuality, our creativity becomes more, and individuality comes out to blossom. And so humor is part of that. And you know, I don't think I've met anybody who's on the path who doesn't have a good sense of humor, because you have a sense of joy. There's so much joy that comes from contacting spirit on a regular basis, being a channel for spirit, and it makes you more fun-loving. So we enjoy life, I think, a great deal more than probably many people do, is what I would guess.
Yes, and we can overcome what is known as SD. They overcome SD. And SD is what is known as serious disease. So
that's
again,
right.
If one has a problem with that, sometimes when they do their daily contemplations, they realize that the essence of man is a happy entity, and they'll default to that happiness, and therefore that's when their sense of humor is stimulated. Sometimes people don't have a sense of humor. But then, again, the practice goes to the essence of the individual. At the same time, whilst they're resolving their karma, they also engender and nurture the state of a humor state comes out. So that's part of this growth factor, is that one can re-stimulate that the essence of man, or learn about what it is and experience it as that sound current. It's very important to put one's attention upon the sound current. And when they do that, then the total awareness takes place.
And I would like to say that we're nearing the end of the show right now. So I want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. Hope you'll join us again next Saturday night. And I would especially like to give a warm thank you to Sri Kadavji for all the wonderful information and spiritual wisdom that you've imparted with us tonight. And I hope that people are more interested in coming and listening again. So Sri Kadavji, I'm going to hand this over to you so that you can say adieu for the evening.
Yes, as the living Sirisha Master raises his right hand, palm facing out and states, "I am always with you. May the blessings be Barak HaBashan."